Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Discipleship.ca. My name is Teresa, and with me today is...
Steve.
Thanks for joining us as we have another discussion with the hope, prayer, and goal of encouraging you in your daily walk of faith and journey towards Christ-likeness as we explore Scripture, faith, and the Christian life, as well as talking about what Jesus is teaching us on our journeys of faith. Today we are in Psalm 64. It is a Psalm of David.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to go ahead and read that, Steve? That would be great.
Yes, I do.
You read all of them.
I do.
I don't even
read
know if we
all.
Need to say that.
You
can really.
Still ask me. It's polite.
Okay. I'm sorry. Thank you. Could you please read that?
Yes, I can. Psalm 64. Hear my voice, O God. In my complaint, preserve my life from dread of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the throngs of evildoers, who whet their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows. Shooting from the ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly and without fear. They hold fast to their evil purpose. They talk of laying snares, secretly thinking, who can see them? They search out injustice, saying, we have accomplished a diligent search, for the inward mind and heart of a man are deep. But God shoots his arrows at them, and they are wounded suddenly. They are brought to ruin with their own tongues turned against them. All who see them will wag their heads, but all mankind fears. They tell what God has brought about and ponder what he has done. Let the righteous one rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let the upright in heart exult.
Thank you. So here we start off with David, we know, and he's saying, hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from dread of the enemy. Now this is interesting. We often, David starts with, oh God, hear my cry, all this stuff. But this is the first one, you know, listen to my prayer. You know, in the past, those are the ones that we have read and that he started with. But this one is in my complaint, or the NIV, yeah. Which says in my meditation.
In my meditation, but in my complaint.
Yeah, hear me. Hear my voice, oh God. Like, hear my heart, hear my voice. David doesn't often use the word complain or even meditation. In this way. I mean, we don't really know. I couldn't find a lot of information on what's different about this one. But it is a little bit.
I'm looking it up right now.
And it is a little bit different from the other pleas that he starts off with, but it is still a plea, right?
In the Greek or the Hebrew language,
yeah.
It is siak, masculine noun, which is in... And they always go back to the King James Version to count the words, right? So 14 times in the King James translation.
Okay.
9 is complaint, 1 is meditation, 1 is prayer, 1 is talking, 1 is communication, 1 is babbling. So it's
the outflow.
Well, maybe meditation and prayer kind of go together. Babbling, complaint kind of go the other way. And then there's just two generic talking, communication. So, you know, if you're... doing the math real quick in
your
head.
There is a little bit of...
It's like 5 times out of 7.
It's not negative, but it's...
complaint kind of
thing. It's not that it's a negative thing. We use complaint as a negative. Of course, that word in English does mean that connotation to it. But it's, I think, you know, David is just saying, God, hear me. And he's just being honest.
Well, lots of times people have complaints and it's not necessarily a bad thing.
It can
actually make, you know... if you give a complaint with a constructive kind of
that willingness to listen and willingness
to air
accept
your grievance, to make things different and better.
Yeah. So this one is different than the others. You know, maybe David's tired of the enemies constantly after him. We don't know. We're on Psalm 64, and there is a definite theme. I have never studied the Psalms this deeply, but there's a definite theme that David is being sought after. He's being plotted against. He's got enemies, not just one or two people, but people are like, you want to talk about conspiracy theories? I think that David's living one. You know, like there's this. People are after him.
Wasn't really a theory. It was very, very clear.
No, yeah, very clear to him.
He was very aware that people were coming after him.
Exactly. So while it's a little different than other pleas, it is still a plea for God. Preserve me, and preserve me from the dread of my enemy. Right. This is more than fear. That word dread is. Is so all-consuming, you know, like one of the commentaries I read said, every sentence reveals the relentless fury and remorseless subtlety and cruelty of the foes by whom he was surrounded.
Yeah.
Conscious of all of this, he had one fear, and that was that he should be afraid of them. because on his own, David knew on his own he could not defeat them.
Right.
Right? He knew that he needed God. So that's why he's crying, God, hear me. I like the reminder in this is that we need to pray this way. Not the complaining so much, but like the reminder that we need deliverance from our enemies, but not just our enemies. We need to be delivered from fear.
Yeah.
Right? Because
I've always thought of dread and fear. Mm. Like fear, you're afraid something might happen.
Dread is knowing it will.
Dread is knowing that it's coming.
It's coming. Yeah.
Right.
Right. And yet as believers, we're not marked by fear or dread. Like we know that we're going to die. Everybody who is alive knows that, but we don't need to dread that. We don't need to fear that.
Yeah.
Right. We know that God is all powerful and that's where we find our help. So I think, that's a good point. I think that's where David is finding himself is in that moment, knowing that, okay, hear me, God. Right? Like, this is preserve my life. Yeah. Well, you're the only one who can.
Day to day, he doesn't know whether he's going to write another song that's going to end up in the Book of Psalms.
We did a whole...
For worship for the people of Israel. or whether he's going to have to fight a giant.
Well, at this point, he would have fought the giant because he was younger. But
you never know.
But you don't know what else is coming. I mean, how many things did he do?
Right.
Right? Amazing things in God's strength and in God's name.
Yeah.
Verse 2 continues, he says, hide me. So first it's hear my voice, preserve me. Now he's saying, hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the throng of the evildoers. So David, at this point, we already kind of mentioned this, but David knew that his enemies were conspiring against him. He knew that only God could help. He knew that if he hid in God and that it was God hiding him, that that would be successful because him on his own could do nothing.
Right.
Right. So then he goes on and explains who the enemies, what they are doing, what they are like, how they are acting, right? Who whet their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows. So they were aiming to kill him. They weren't just trying to spread lies and maim his name and like besmirch him, right? They were plotting action against him with their words.
Yeah, it's not about his reputation anymore.
Right.
It's get rid of him.
Yeah. It was planning evil against him. Verse 4 continues on where he says, shooting from ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly and without fear. So this is kind of one of the commentaries that I read when I was studying described it like a sniper, like war, right? Like he's at war, sudden ambush, no warning. They have no fear. They're confident. David is literally fighting for his life here.
Yeah.
Right? Against this sort of an enemy where he doesn't even know where they're going to come from.
Right.
Doesn't know when they're going to attack.
You live with that tension, right?
Mm-hmm. That tension of that he is being sought after and hunted down. Verse 5, they hold fast to their evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly, thinking, who can see them? Right? So they have this arrogance, right? They have their evil purpose. And it's more than just one or two, right? There's a group. Right. They're plotting against him.
Yeah.
And they believe they're untouchable. Like how, I mean, when you just have one person in your life that is kind of rubbing you wrong or taunting you or, you know, I don't, in any way, and they believe that they're untouchable, they're arrogant.
Yeah.
But imagine having a whole group.
Yeah. No, and that's the, right? You run into those, this is those movies where it's like you got to deal with people one at a time.
Yeah.
Where they're coming in and doing whatever, you got to separate them, deal with them one at a time. Because as a group, it's like, how do I ever get through this?
And I think David knows that by himself, what can he do?
Yeah.
Right? He knows that he will be king. God has promised him. But then what does he do in between the time that he was promised to the time he becomes king? Because there's a lot of
this
time.
One, they don't really know when it happened in his life though, right?
Like, no, they don't really know.
Like, they don't have any...
There's no mention of it, actually.
He could be the king, and this could be...
Well, you're right. A lot of...
This could be during the time where his own son is trying to turn everybody against him.
Come up a lot,
Could be earlier when it's Saul. Could be...
Yeah, could be any other any number of times. It sounded like David was never lacking for people against him and enemies.
Well, he was building a kingdom for the glory of God, right?
That's right. That's right. And he was unashamedly doing that.
Yeah.
Right. Verse 6 goes on to say, they search out injustice, saying, we have accomplished a diligent search, for the inward mind and heart of a man are deep. So they're proud of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
What verse was that? Verse 6, right? Yes, I was like, hold on.
Verse 6.
That's interesting.
See, that's what I did when I read it at the start. I started reading a line and I was like, did I just skip a line? And then in my head, I'm like, I skipped a line. So I'm trying to read the other line while I'm trying to read.
No, like, I was looking at my notes.
To read one.
Going, yeah, I remember writing notes about this, but then in my head, sometimes I write the notes, but in my head, I say the whole sentence, but in my notes, I only write a couple words to try to prompt what I was thinking.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I couldn't find it, but no.
There are lots of times where I wish, as I was preaching,
that you had
my notes were a little different than they were on the paper.
Yeah, yeah.
Because sometimes I can't even read my own handwriting.
Yeah, that's fair.
And
I do write these out too.
I still do handwrite lots of my sermons.
I don't know. It seems more personal to me. Maybe that'll change one day, but right now that's what I do. So they're proud. They're proud of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And here when it says the heart, for the inward mind and heart of a man are deep, it's not a good deep, right? It's talking about their endless evil and endless sin that you can get in there and corrupt you.
Yeah.
Right? So here, this is what the enemies are. They are full of evil, and they are full of this sin and this acting against David. And he's just saying, there's no end.
Yeah.
Right? There's no end. But then we get to verse 7, and I love this. But God.
Mm.
But God shoots his arrows at them.
Right.
They are wounded suddenly. So God can wound them because God is more powerful than them. And they don't have all the arrows, right? Suddenly they're on the other side. They are the ones that are feeling ambushed and attacked, and they're actually wounded. Whereas before they shot at David in verse 4, suddenly now, they were without fear, but suddenly now they are fearful because God is surprising them by shooting them suddenly and then wounding them, right? Yeah. Like here, it's like God has the high ground. Okay.
And we forget so much, I think, in faith that... Hmm. We serve a God who doesn't actually need us to do the fighting, right?
No, absolutely.
And so I actually have a little sticky note on front of my desk at the office. It just says Exodus 14:14.
That's a good one.
Stand still.
Yeah.
Let God do the fighting.
Yeah, God will fight for you.
You don't have to do anything for the enemy to be overcome.
Yeah. Is that the one where it says you need only be silent? God will fight
for
you.
Be silent.
Yeah, I love that.
Be silent and stand still.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing. I don't have it.
Yes, rest. Basically, rest in him, right? Let him work.
Yeah. Well, quite literally, Moses was being told to do nothing.
To just do nothing.
Crossing to the Red Sea. The Lord will fight for you.
Yeah.
You only have to be silent.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I mean, how many times in our lives would it have been better for us to just be silent and wait on the Lord?
Yeah. And that's at that moment, right? They're crossing the Red Sea. So Moses just has to stand there and watch the Egyptians bearing down as the Israelites are trying to get out of
and,
the water.
And trust, right? Okay.
What was the water?
God, you have this.
Yeah.
Verse 8 says, they are brought to ruin with their own tongues turned against them. All who see them will wag their heads. So their own words, which were meant to cause David harm, will now cause them harm.
Yeah.
Right? People will look at them and know that they are not innocent. They'll wag their heads. They'll know that they were in the wrong.
Yeah.
And I love this. This is like, this reminds me of that where it says that God will restore.
Yeah.
You know, what man or Satan meant for evil, God means for good, right? Like, I mean, that's going back into the time of Joseph, but I just love that where there's so many things that happen to us in life, circumstances that we don't control because there's so much we can't. And there's things that we don't love and we don't like, and we have a hard time working through them. But God can still use it for good, to glorify Him and to bring us joy. And we may not see that in the moment, but it's coming. And I think sometimes we need to remember that and tell ourselves that when we forget, you know, because I think it's good to remind ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Preach the gospel to yourself every day.
Yeah.
Every day. Do not let your own thoughts get in there.
Generally, when I have a pity party about something that I really don't like for myself, that's when God uses somebody in my life to remind me that I'm being a kind of...
You're just being a little bit silly, weak maybe. You're taking your eyes and putting them on yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's never a good thing. Never a good thing.
So, I also think that if this was a video podcast...
Okay.
I would be asking you for the visual demonstration of what it is to wag your head.
What do you mean?
I don't really know what that means. No, she's just shaking her head kind of like lightly no.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is nowhere near what we think of as a dog wagging its tail. Like how, like, how vigorous is this?
I don't know. I just kind of see that, like, shaking the head. Like, we can't, you know, we're not listening to you. We don't. You are no longer someone of respect.
So the little kid that's like, I can't hear you. And they wake their head back.
No, more like that disappointment. You were wrong. I don't know. That's kind of where I go. Maybe.
Could be.
Yeah, maybe it might not be. I don't know. But then it goes on again, and it says, then all mankind fears. They tell what God has brought about and ponder what he has done. So after they see that these enemies are brought down by their own words, that they're turned around and they are brought harm on themselves, then mankind will fear, right? David is confident here that God will use this to teach a lesson.
Yeah.
That this will tell of what God has done, and that will be bigger than any evil that was tried against him, yeah. Right? People will start to think and assess their own actions and the power of God. And I love this because this is like the reply to verse 5. Who will see? Well, God sees, and he will reveal that to all.
Yeah, the only one that matters will see.
Exactly, yeah. And he may or may not keep that between you and him. But like when it says all will wag, it's letting them know actually other people are going to see too, right?
Yeah.
So
exactly.
You want to know who's going to see? Everybody. Just so you know.
Truth.
Yeah. And then verse 10. Again, it ends with an encouragement. Let the righteous one rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let all the upright in heart exult. So this is talking, right? If you are righteous in the Lord, then you are going to win the day because he's going to win the day.
Yeah.
He's going to deal with the wicked. You can take refuge in him because he will protect you, right? Let the upright in heart exult. God will bring joy. He will increase faith. When you rely on him, he does answer your prayers. So you can trust him, right? He will take care of the righteous. So I guess my encouragement to you is to ask yourself, it's okay to examine our hearts. I think it's good to say, am I righteous before God? Do I belong to him? Because if you are upright in heart and belong to Jesus, if you're working out your salvation and being sanctified by him day by day, repenting and hungering after him, then you are one of the righteous. Does that mean that you're perfect? No, of course not. None of us are perfect. But it does mean that you are beloved by him. And I just want to encourage you to allow him to bring you joy, because your joy is found in him. And trust him today. That's my encouragement to you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us for our conversation today. If you've enjoyed the podcast, you can always subscribe, leave a like or a comment on our social streams, or even tell others about us. We appreciate any help in getting connected to people who are interested. As always, you can find us online at discipleship.ca or Facebook and Instagram. Have a great day. Hope you can join us next time.
Until next time.